Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, Russell Reynolds Associates, a global leadership advisory and executive search firm, recently released its 2021 Global Leadership Monitor, the first report of its kind to track top business issues and leadership preparedness to face them. The findings shed light on the significant challenges and impacts business leaders have faced since the start of the pandemic, as well as their confidence and concerns in navigating the road ahead. They surveyed over 1,300 business leaders across 53 countries, including Singapore and all major industry sectors. For more insights, we speak to Nick Chia, President, Singapore at Russell Reynolds. Nick, thanks for joining us again today.
Hey, Howie, thank you for having me on the show.
Highlight some of the findings of note, things that you found concerning, I suppose.
Well, let me start maybe with the good news. I think generally, and let me start with a global perspective and then come down to what in Singapore perhaps was different. Mm. Overall, I think the majority of leaders globally were quite positive and confident about their leadership team's response to the pandemic and their point of view on emerging issues such as digital transformation, ESG, which is around environment, kind of sustainability and governance. Mm. And then also DE&I, right? Diversity, equity, inclusion. So this was generally positive. And also, I think most CEOs and board members agreed that their leadership team is effectively embracing the opportunities in areas such as sustainability. Now, in Singapore, there were a few differences. I think the one was around the talent availability, and the other one was around technological kind of change. And interestingly, in Singapore, we feel more confident than the global average about the availability of key talent, but less confident about the ability to face technological change. So the question is, why do we feel that we have the talent availability, but not specifically around technology? And one conclusion might be that we feel we have less of the talent for technological change. So that could be one area that is different. The other area is that globally, most of the respondents rated, all respondents rated customers as the most important element or stakeholder on the company strategy. And that was consistent. Now, in Singapore, what was different was we put investors and regulators next, and then employees fourth. Employees in many of the other countries and on the global average came in second. So that's a bit different.
Mm. And you say different, I might say why?
That's a very logical question. I suspect that beyond customers, which logically have the biggest impact on the company, because that's the reason you exist,
yeah.
The next three for Singapore are more institutions, right? It's kind of investors and regulators rather than employees. So perhaps, and again, this is a hypothesis, perhaps we feel like the institutions hold more impact on our strategy in Singapore than the individuals from within the company, which then leads me to hope that over time this will change and that employees, all of us, will feel an ability to proactively impact that rather than kind of reactively receive whatever strategy we get.
At the risk of oversimplification, is this a good or a bad thing that Singapore leaders feel that customers are not the most important thing, so to speak?
Let me clarify. So customers are the most important. It's just that employees were ranked a bit lower. And perhaps I think there's been in Singapore always this agreement among all of the various stakeholders, right? From employees to employers, to industry, to associations, about how we are all pulling in the same direction. So perhaps there's a historical element to this, which leads all of us to agree generally that we all have the same goals, rather than perhaps in some countries it's slightly more adversarial. Mm. And so that might be where we assume the good intentions. The danger is that if you over assume that, then you basically are delegating or abdicating your responsibility, right? As employees, we should have an impact on our company's strategy, particularly in the newer areas such as diversity and inclusion, sustainability, the future of work, and so on.
Mm. Would you say these findings were surprising, that Singapore business leaders prioritize different things versus their global counterparts?
I wouldn't say it was surprising. The differences were not huge. And secondly, I would say perhaps you can take the context of the respondents within the with a slightly more positive business sentiment that in Singapore, I think the way we've handled the crisis over the last 12, 18 months perhaps leads, you know, the respondents to feel more positive generally, as opposed to business leaders in the other, you know, 52 markets, where perhaps the reaction to the pandemic has been more mixed. So I suspect that's what we are seeing also in our day-to-day work with clients, that there is generally an optimism in Singapore.
So what does the study mean, though, for Singapore business leaders? I mean, how will it help them navigate amidst the uncertainties now that we've figured out kind of how they think and it compares slightly differently to their global counterparts?
Well, I would say that if the, I mean, one worrying response is that kind of lower than global average confidence about the availability of talent to meet technological change. Mm. And if anything's a given, it's the fact that technology, perhaps accelerated by COVID, is going to be there for the foreseeable future, not just in terms of operational efficiency, but frankly, new business models. So I think one is maybe perhaps looking beyond the obvious areas for talent in technological change, which might mean not just looking overseas and looking to perhaps other markets for technology advanced kind of capability, but to look within the team and to look at even the diaspora of Singaporeans. I think there's a really good network of Singaporeans that are overseas as well as within Singapore that have that. So one is perhaps look beyond the obvious. The second area, I think, is which was actually a globally consistent finding, was that only about 40% of kind of CEOs and their team members feel that they get good advice from their board members, right? So more than half, about half, basically feel they don't get good advice from the board. Ooh. That's very worrying because from a strategy perspective, the board is there to guide that long-term strategy. So we think we need to kind of figure out a way for the board members and the C-suite executives to engage more closely with each other to build trust.
So the issue there is perhaps a lack of communication or...
It could be. I think one is if you think about the C-suite management, they meet pretty much every day. They interact on a daily basis. Yeah. The board members interact and meet perhaps 4 to 8 times a year at their board meetings and may or may not interact with the management team. So we do find that the best performing ones actually have that good constructive tension between the two, because that's essential to performance. Mm. But there's always a good level of trust while those contentious issues are being discussed. And that's only possible if there are personal relationships and that level of engagement. So we do encourage our clients to have more informal interaction between board members and management beyond kind of your board meetings. And so so that's one area. So it comes down to your to what you said, which is communication. And then secondly, maybe be more concrete and precise about expectations for each other.
Who else needs to know about these findings, Nick?
Well, if you think about talent and kind of the newer things that are coming from sustainability to digital to diversity, it kind of affects everybody, right? Yeah. And so this is not a board issue or a CEO issue or a HR issue, right? The availability of talent is actually a business issue. It's not a HR issue. And therefore, I would say that these kinds of issues and findings perhaps need to be looked at a company level. And so I would encourage companies and companies' leaders to look at these elements and perhaps formally or otherwise look at their own company situation to identify where they're doing well and where the gaps might be, and then to proactively put in place fairly, you know, straightforward, I think, measures and activities to improve and fill those gaps.
How hopeful are you at this stage, Nick, seeing the other end of the tunnel, so to speak?
Oh, I think I'm very optimistic. I'm thankful to be in Singapore. And being a Singaporean, I think our resilience and our ability to kind of focus and concentrate on the key things that move the needle, I think that's always been a strength of the country. You know, what we lack is always kind of a large mass of people, right? We're always going to be subscale. We're never going to be optimal because we'll always be small. So the trick is how do we maximize our own capability and then leverage and use and partner and share and co-opt you know, capability and resources from elsewhere, perhaps less so on a permanent basis and increasingly on a project basis. I think more and more we have to attract people to want to come and work with us. It's not just a physical location. That's always attractive. But frankly, it's also about the exciting things we're working on, the exciting projects that we have, the exciting initiatives and new areas that we are working on, from digital to alternative proteins to biotechnology to solar and so on. I think there's huge upside for Singapore, and there's no reason why we can't be a world leader in these areas.
Nick, your energy is palpable and infectious. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Howie.
Nick Chia, President, Singapore, Russell Reynolds. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.